Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 438 of the podcast. So I am putting out two shows today. You are not going mad. On the 1st of July 2019, there are two episodes going out because I want to keep the content separate. So check out episode 437 for my mega post on 9 ways that in artificial intelligence or AI will disrupt authors and the publishing industry, which I've spent ages on. So I hope you find that super useful. So that was the last episode. Today, in this episode, I talk to Makoto Tokodome, who is an author and language teacher in China. And we discuss how Chinese readers in particular find and buy books through mobile apps, as well as our mutual excitement about AI translation, voice-first technology, and more. In publishing news, the UK All-Party Writers Group put out a report last week, which was an inquiry into author earnings. Now, this was one of those reports that once again make everything sound pretty bad. Writers' earnings have fallen 42% in real terms since 2005. Interestingly, they talk about a major issue, and this is obviously for traditionally published authors, is the structuring of royalties following the dissolution of the net book agreement, which is essentially where the price has to stay the same across different retailers. So this change resulted in heavy discounting of books and royalties dropped below the level of inflation. So that's one interesting change that happened for traditionally published authors. Also, it says it's common for authors to do more than writing to enable them to make a living, which is obviously what I say all the time, multiple streams of income. They also say a concern is festivals where authors are expected to speak for free. And let's also say not just expected to speak for free, but also expected to pay their own transport and accommodation costs a lot of the time. And also it says, and I've just picked out a few interesting points. I'll link to the whole thing in the show notes. It says the most prominent bookseller is now considered to be Amazon. And this is in the UK. 80% share of online physical book sales. It didn't say total book sales. Publishers have responded to this by giving deeper discounts to high street stores. So this is interesting because what that means is in order to react to Amazon's print prices, they're discounting more on the high street. So it's kind of odd when traditionally published authors say we need to have more on the high street because that's where the discounting is happening the most. So really interesting article, but more interesting for us as indie authors, or if you are traditionally published and you're thinking about your options, the Alliance of Independent Authors put out a press release in response to this. Now, Ally, the Alliance, was actually asked about to contribute to that report, but very little was said about self-publishing. There was about 2 lines in the whole report about self-publishing. So the Alliance press release says, "Report on author earnings sends wrong message to writers and misses the opportunity in self-publishing." So, and I'm quoting from the Ally press release here, "There's a revolution underway in the publishing industry. Independent authors are writing, publishing, licensing rights, and earning significant incomes in one or more business models. But the All-Party Writers Group report on author earnings remains stuck in the age-old earnings battle between trade publishers and their content providers." Quote from Orna Ross, "Until author organisations embrace the fact that the global publishing landscape has changed and authors are often better off when they self-publish, authors will continue to grapple with subpar earnings." So the press release goes on to say that Any report about the sad state of author earnings without including or considering any of the benefits of author publishing or self-publishing helps ensure authors remain mired in a psychology of dependence rather than encouraging the development of the entrepreneurial, empowered growth mindset of the successful, independent author. Very well written. Orna and team. You guys know, you've been listening to my show for a while. I definitely believe in the entrepreneurial, empowered growth mindset. This is actually one of the biggest things that I feel like when people say, why do I still do this after so long? Oh, goodness, makes me feel so old. But essentially, I love empowering creators. I really do. And I feel quite shocked when I talk to brilliant authors and creators who have such a low, opinion of themselves or a low opinion of the value of their creations. So listen to me out there. You are empowered and you can certainly learn to be entrepreneurial. So, right. That's my pep talk. Okay, so. In book marketing news. Now, I mentioned this in the AI disruption post, but I don't want this to get lost in all of the other stuff because this is really significant in terms of book marketing. So Google is adding podcasts to its search results and adding a dedicated podcast app in the name to take market share from Apple, basically. Adding a dedicated pre-installed app on Android phones will help convert Android users into podcast listeners. And remember, there's over a billion Android devices out there in the world. So Google Android really is the biggest platform. I mean, Apple, much smaller imprint in terms of number of devices. So this has two big things. Well, one, a lot more podcast listeners. And two, if Google surfaces audio in their search results. So if you're searching self-publishing, you're probably going to come up with my podcast, which is amazing and very exciting and also impacts my other podcast, Books and Travel, which my aim is to get more traffic for my fiction. So this to me has massive potential ramifications. If you have not been on podcasts as part of your book marketing strategy, then I would suggest finding out which podcasts target your target market, maybe pitch them for an interview, or if you've been interesting or flirted with the idea of starting a podcast, now is the time. Also, if your audiobooks are not on Google Play, this is a big deal. So if you think about how podcast listeners move over into listening to audiobooks. If you're on Android, then obviously the Google Play Store is the default thing. So if you ask an assistant, so your Google Assistant, your Alexa, or your Siri, for example, if you ask each of those for an audiobook, they will default to their own ecosystem. Obvs. So Google Play, if you've got an episode on Google podcast that says, you know, say you're listening to this and then you go, oh, do you know what? I'd quite like to listen to one of Joanna's audiobooks. You can just say, hey, Google, give me How to Market a Book by Joanna Penn, and it will be there on Google Play. So this is a big deal if you have not gone wide with audio. Of course, I talked about that a few weeks ago. And yeah, so big deal. I'll also be covering this a lot more in my course on audio and podcasting coming later this summer once I have sorted that out. So my personal update, I have just got back from Spain for my dad's 70th birthday by the sea, which was lovely, gorgeous weather. And if you are following me on Instagram at JFPenAuthor, you will have seen the sangria on tap. Yes, actually draft sangria from the local supermarket. So we had a very good time. But also on Instagram, my pictures of the medieval city of Girona, which where they filmed some of Game of Thrones, stuff like that. But also you might be able to hear from my voice, my two-year-old niece. Just little disease vectors, aren't they, children? But yeah, I have got her cold, so hence my voice is a little bit dodge. But we had a very good time, and I'm the eldest of five children and lots of husbands and wives and partners and children. It was very good. So yes, that was holiday. But just before I left, I went to the Wired Pulse AI conference in London. And much of that, where my mind was blown some more, is included in the last episode. And I just wanted to kind of comment on the feeling that I've had. It's been very strange. I have, because my husband's been away in New Zealand, so I had about 3 weeks where I was immersed in listening to a lot of audiobooks, many of which are recommended in the last episode, and also listening to a lot of podcasts, just immersing myself and also reading books. I think I just filled my brain with so much. And then it felt like that weekend with the Wired conference, I felt almost as if I was in a flow state. And the article that I wrote was kind of written in this it just felt very creative. And as I talked about, I haven't been this excited in a very long time. So, and I have been, I may well even start another podcast. I've reserved the URL. So yeah, because I realize this is a topic that a lot of people are not so interested in, so I might start something else. I also have a new 10-year business plan, which I'm sure I'll talk about at some point. I have a lot to share, and I'm still thinking about a lot of this stuff. So I just wanted to mention this. Sometimes there are things where we need to immerse ourselves and try and understand where things are heading. And I found this very exciting time. I also have got my edits back on Map of Plagues. So I will be back into edit shortly. I also finished narrating Successful Self-Publishing. So I just need to do some pickups when my voice normalizes, and then that will be ready. And also, I did an episode on my books and travel show about Oxford, my experience of Oxford. It's called Decadence, Discipline and Dreaming Spires. So you can find that at booksandtravel.page/Oxford, or you can just search books and travel on your podcast app and you will find that. So yes, I have been juggling high-tech AI alongside travel memoir and dark fantasy. So I think that might be another reason I got ill, because I have been living on the edge, like living on the mental edge now for a few weeks. Fun times. So thanks for all your emails and tweets this week. First up, K.A. Merican says, I just listened to the latest podcast. Will you still be putting your shows on YouTube? I find it really easy to follow you there with a subscription. So this is so interesting, because I did announce that I was going to stop doing video on my YouTube channel. But what this tweet, but also my sister-in-law, who is 10 years younger than me, at least, maybe slightly more. And she said she listens to audiobooks on YouTube. And I was like, whoa, I just didn't know people behaved like that. So clearly there is an audio-only audience on YouTube. So I have now started uploading audio-only episodes to YouTube. So essentially, yes, I will still be on YouTube, and I will be putting even my audiobooks, some of them, up on YouTube for free. So very fascinating to me that people behave in all these different ways that you might not assume are correct. So yes, the creative pen staying on YouTube. Tom Jameson says, as someone who is only just starting out on the self-publishing route, I'm finding the podcast from The Creative Pen inspiring and informative. Fantastic. Thanks, Tom, and welcome to the indie community. Also, Julia V says, catching up on podcasts, really enjoying the mega episode on Going Wide during my sunset stroll in Sun River, Oregon. Hi, Julia. Tallulah Vandermade, just a great name, says, you're my unskippable podcast because you're always so upbeat and inspirational in a world full of negativity. Thanks so much, Tallulah. And yes, I continue to be upbeat. I just think the world is amazing, especially right now. I just am blown away every day, which is why I'm so happy. I'm just having a very happy time right now. And from Beth Farrer, talking about when I mentioned my mum and her publishing goals, because I said I'm going to put my mum's books on KU because she is just not interested in doing any marketing. And Beth has said, I've been back and forth over the last 3 years trying to figure out what to do with all my goals, and what your mum is doing, it's so freeing to know someone else is heading down the same path. I had a website plan to tie into my genealogical mysteries, but the work was so overwhelming and not what my passion was. So I just cursed and said, I just want to write books. I want to hold a copy in my hand, give them to my sons, show them it's never too late to fulfill a dream and just have fun writing. So please thank your mother for me. I love that she knows what she wants. So fantastic, Beth. Really glad that that helped you, and also to everyone else. At the end of the day, like, for example, my interest in AI, that might not be yours at all. And in fact, most authors think I'm completely balmy. But then people thought I was a bit balmy 10 years ago when I started self-publishing. So I do have a bit of form when it comes to this. But really good to figure out what you want to do and then do that. So again, me doubling down on audio, I enjoy this. I find it far more natural to me than doing video, especially right now because I have a cold and I just look a complete wreck. So I would not be doing this if I was on video. So anyway, yes, stick with what you love. So today's show is sponsored by my patrons on Patreon. My usual corporate style sponsorship pays for hosting, transcription and editing, but my time in creating the show and especially doing mega episodes like the last one is sponsored by my patrons. I also sent out the Patreon Q&A last week before I left, so you get that if you sponsor the show. Thanks to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. Some of you have been doing this like 3 years now, which is amazing. Thanks to new patrons, Christy Adams, Emma Mickles, Lynn Hazelton, Monique Nelson, Margaret Roadheaver, Whitney Vandiver, Nala Henkel Eilin, I want to say Eilin or maybe Eilin, and Susie Turner. Thank you all the new sponsors and all the people who've been sponsoring for ages. I love you, I really do. And I love the support because it demonstrates you enjoy the show and want it to continue and want me to keep doing crazy big solo shows that hopefully give you a new perspective. So you can support the show with just a couple of dollars a month or a couple of coffees a month if you're feeling generous. Go to patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get on with the interview. Makoto Tokodome is an author, language teacher and coach based in China with an interest in AI and voice technologies for authors. His more recent book is The Thoughtful Language Learner. Welcome, Makoto.
Hi, Joanna. Great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. So first of all, tell us a bit more about you and your background across the US and China.
Yeah, sure. So you could probably guess from my name, some of you can guess that. I'm Japanese-American, so I was born and raised in the U.S., and I guess I would call L.A. or Los Angeles my hometown. And my background, I'm happily married for the last 12 years. My wife and I, we have two kids, and maybe something unique or interesting about us is that we currently live here in China. I work here in China as an English teacher at a local university.
And your wife is Chinese American, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm Japanese American, but my wife is Chinese American, correct? Specifically Cantonese.
Right, and were your kids born in China or are they American too? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so they are kind of a blend. So part of our dream or kind of our goal for them was they could have this cross-cultural experience living overseas and learn a little bit about Chinese culture, Chinese history. And I think one of the greatest benefits is they get to learn Chinese as well and become bilingual.
I'm super jealous of your children. I mean, I just feel like, you know, this, I don't have another language. And I think what you're doing is fantastic. So let's get into China and AI and everything that you and I are so interested in. So first of all, in China, how do Chinese readers find and buy books right now? What is like the current state of how we might reach them as writing in English?
Yeah, so before this chat, I was actually looking online, doing a little bit of background research. And, you know, a lot of people know already that China is it has such a huge population. It's now, over 1.3 billion people. And among the 1.3, about 830 million people that are online regularly. And so many of those people are shopping online, buying things online, and including books. So I think both people buying books at bookstores as well as buying books online, they say now, I think the book market is the largest in the world, maybe surpassing the US at over $50+ billion or something. So I think there's definitely for authors, for people thinking about the China market, there's definitely huge potential. But I think maybe there's also some challenges as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I noticed when I went back to New Zealand last time is that people can now pay by WeChat or Alipay. And that's not something that we see a lot in the UK. So what's happening with apps for payments and how does that work with the book ecosystem?
Yeah, so apps are a huge thing here in China, just like many other countries. But maybe what's unique about China is there's some very large companies, such as you mentioned WeChat, which is owned by the company Tencent. And, you know, WeChat, honestly, there is no parallel even in the US or in the Silicon Valley. It's kind of, people say it's a combination of a messaging app, but also mobile payments. It's like a Facebook. And so people even do online reading on it as well. And what's remarkable, I think, is just so many people that use it on a day-to-day basis, whether you're, you know, buying groceries, ordering an Uber. And so the WeChat model or the WeChat company can have kind of all this data across your, you know, what type of shopping habits you have, as well as maybe for readers, what kind of books they like to read. And so again, I think for people thinking about entering the market, there's potential for understanding where are the niches for your type of book or type of audience you're trying to reach.
Yeah, I feel like I need to get on WeChat. I know we can here in the UK. It's just because it's not really used. I definitely want to come out to China, and I'm like, you can't come without having that payment right on your phone. It seems like
You can still use cash. You can still use cash, but these days, I mean, majority of payments just happen. You know, you scan a QR code, you pay with your phone. You know, young teenagers all the way to the grandmas and grandpas are all using it.
Yeah, which is incredible, because that, to me, that makes digital so much more seamless than we have. I mean, Amazon has seamless one-click payments, but that's about the closest, and the payment still goes separately. But just coming back on, how do people find books? Like, you know, for example, I might put a tweet out here in the UK, and someone might see that in the UK and buy a book. What are some of the ways that people are finding books in China?
Yeah, so there's different ways that people might find books. One of them, it could just be through a social media app like WeChat. So WeChat, like I mentioned, is a messaging app, but it could also be like a Facebook where people, their friends, your community, they're sharing different posts. And then maybe that includes books that they've been reading. And so from right there, they can see what people are reading and even purchase the ebook through the WeChat program. Another, I think a big one that even a lot of my students use is called Douban, D-O-U-B-A-N. And basically, that's an app just like Goodreads. Well, it's kind of a Goodreads on steroids. So it's a social networking specifically for books. It also includes music and movies. And so many people go there just to see kind of trending, what's the most popular books these days. And you can drill down on all sorts of categories, whatever you're interested in reading.
Fantastic. And then in terms of the digital bookstores that we might know, are there any? I mean, I think the Kindle China store is still open, although they pulled out in a lot of ways. But are there any places that we can actually reach Chinese readers right now?
Yes. Yeah, so that's, I mentioned some of the challenges. So from what I understand, the only way for, I guess, those from overseas want to get into the China market for self-publishing. I know that you've mentioned before Publish Drive. So Publish Drive, my understanding is they work together with a retailer called Dang Dang. And so you can put out your self-published books onto this online retailer. But it's kind of China, my understanding, it's divided into kind of two worlds or two spheres. So the first one, if you want to publish books in China, all these publishing companies, it's through the state. And so there is like a censorship process that all these books go through before you can obtain an ISBN. And then that's one sphere. And the other sphere that really has been popular in the last couple of years is people who consume either short books or serialized fiction online. There's a lot of different apps that are also doing this. I guess it's kind of akin to, what's that? There's one in the West as well, but Wattpad.
Yeah, Wattpad, it's yeah.
So it's similar to that, except, there's so many authors, so many readers, and some of them eventually become and are professionally published authors because they become so popular, or their serialized fiction becomes so popular on these different apps or platforms.
Fantastic. So what about audio? Are people listening to digital audiobooks on apps as well?
Yeah, so audio, I think, is another one that's really growing. It's not just, I think, audiobooks, but the consumption of podcasts or consumption of audio lectures. So similar to, like I mentioned, these online books or online serialized fiction, there's also these online audio apps or sites that people are using to listen to. I think many of them, very similar to podcasts like we have in the US or in the West, but a lot of them are also paid for content. So people are using it to learn how to maybe improve their EQ or learn how to become a better manager. And so in some of those areas, ebooks or books are also turned into audio content as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, we connected because you did a blog post on the Creative Pen about using Polly, Amazon Polly, for audiobook creation, which is an AI voice service. Yeah. And you also recommended Talk to Me by James Vlahos, which I've listened to now and is amazing. How can authors use voice tech for creation or publishing and book marketing?
Yeah, so that guest post that I did, I think is really like a proof of concept. So it's basically taking your creative work, your written text, and using this text-to-speech technology that Amazon has. And really, you're paying not that much money to convert it into this voice, whether you want to. The one I picked, actually, I used the British voice. And so I turned my book, I took all the text and converted it into voice recordings for each chapter. And I think a lot of people, they think maybe they've tried something like that, text-to-speech, a couple of years ago, and they feel it's very robotic. It's hard to understand. And actually, it's quite amazing just how far the technology has come. I wouldn't say you can fool someone to think it's, you know, human narration, but I think I could definitely listen at length to these different recordings. And so for authors, I think, you know, some people who are actually getting into recording their own books for audiobooks, but I would guess, including myself, maybe I don't have the background, or maybe I don't have the time. You can use these technologies, I think, in the future to create your written work into audio work.
Yeah. And what about, because of course, Talk to Me is a lot about voice assistants and things like Alexa or Siri or the Google Assistant, or in China, I guess, is it Baidu is the big one? So how do you think this voice first and voice search technology is going to change the way that books are found and consumed?
Yeah, so a lot of people, I think these days, they kind of throw this phrase around, voice first. And I think that's going to become more and more important, not just for authors, but I think it's something that authors, creatives should also be paying attention to. And so James Vlahos in this book, Talk to Me, he kind of gives maybe the history or the background of how far voice technology comes from, and then also slowly starts to paint a picture of what it's going to be like in the future. That is the way we interact with devices, technology. Maybe it won't be that we're standing or sitting in front of a computer screen typing Google searches, and that more and more the way we search for stuff, the way we interact with our computers, it'll be more driven by voice. And so I think authors, creatives need to maybe start thinking about, well, if that's the case, then how can I make my creative work? How can I make my author platform, all those things easier to be found through either voice assistants like Alexa or Siri? I think this is a huge area that Amazon investing a lot of money in, and maybe authors can explore, think about how they can slowly put their presence onto this area as well.
Yeah, and I'm currently writing, sort of scribbling a 10-year business plan around voice first. So it is a fascinating area, and I feel like I'm on day one of learning about it. So thank you for recommending that book to me. Now, I did want to ask you, because you're a language teacher, and you help people learn languages, but one of the fascinating things is AI language translation. And of course, we saw, I think it was the Beijing Book Fair last year, they translated a book from, I think it was English into Mandarin or something, and it did it in a couple of seconds. And so translation is an incredible potential with AI. But what do you think, as someone who makes his living this way?
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny because I'm a language teacher, but then at the same time, I'm kind of an enthusiast. I geek out and like to learn or read about this technology that's coming. And I actually realized that maybe my job as a language teacher could become replaced or obsolete maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. I think there still will be a place for language teachers or cultural teachers, but a lot of this AI translation, whether it's translation or interpretation, it's getting better and better and better, that people really need to think about whether their jobs or whether the type of work that they're doing, maybe it's going to be replaced by technology. And, you know, what's one of the interesting things I was looking at the other day, even as in regards to authors, is can AI or these machines create fiction from scratch? And they've had this for the last couple of years. They have NaNoWriMo, but then in parallel, they have this thing called NaNoGenMo, where they can see if AI can create, generate text from scratch or literary fiction from scratch. And I think it's still many years down the road to have something interesting to read. But I think just to know that people are working on something like this is maybe something to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah. And I've been playing with the GPT-2 text generator tool with the same kind of thing. And it's kind of crazy. But and like you said, you've said 5 to 10 years there with the translation. I guess the teaching work. But as things speed up, you just don't know, do you? I mean, there's already with the language translation, you can do Skype calls where it does translate as people speak. Probably not at the speed we are discussing, but there's some really interesting stuff coming. So one of the other things that I thought was, we both geek out over the book AI Superpowers by Dr. Kai-Fu Lee, which I'm kind of devastated in here in the UK is just not being stocked in bookstores. It's not being talked about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I couldn't even buy a copy for a friend of mine. I just, you know, I was like, where is this book? This should be everywhere when it first came out. And I think it's because of the negative press around China and technology, most likely. What are some of the things that you're particularly excited about in terms of AI, you know, just in general, and how that might impact authors and writers?
Yeah, so one of the big questions, so that AI Superpowers by Kai-Fu Lee, I also thought is a fantastic book. Anyone interested in just understanding in the last 5 or 10 years what's been happening technology-wise in China, I think it's a great read, and especially in the area of AI. And one of the things Kai-Fu Lee addresses is this question of, as AI, as this technology continues to progress, like I mentioned about my own job as language teacher, what are other types of jobs or what are other types of industries that might be at risk? And so again, for authors or creatives, I think this is where maybe we can be a little bit encouraged. He kind of has this, I guess, this pie graph or this XY axis talking about what are the jobs that will be most secure and what are the jobs that maybe are at risk being replaced by AI. And he talks about the ones that are most probably the safest or most secure are the ones that depend highly on creativity. And so creatives, artists, I think can be safe from these AI technologies. And I think the book, what I would also mention is maybe the book seems to be a little bit more pessimistic or maybe paints a grayer picture. And what I actually think is true about AI or technology is, you know, instead of seeing it as something that you're trying to run away from, more and more, I think we can think about how we can use it to complement our creativity. So I think already in areas like music or painting, people are using AI to teach them. Maybe in music, they're mixing jazz and classical music, and they have AI create these brand new compositions of music that gives them maybe new ideas or inspirations. And I feel even with this nano Genmo, maybe you'll never produce like a best-selling book, but it can be used, I think, to generate creativity. And it's something that we should look forward to versus maybe be afraid of.
Oh yeah, I'm totally with you. And I see technology more as a leverage point or a way to supercharge what we already have. So, you know, without the internet, I wouldn't have a business. We would never have met. We wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah. And I think, as you pointed out to me, you know, why don't you do an Alexa skill on helping writers? So, and that's what I like. It's this creative idea. So instead of me writing a book on, say, how to write a novel, why don't I write an Alexa skill instead? Like that would be, or as well as, I mean, that's really an interesting idea. So some of these technologies could help us create whole new ecosystems, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the cool things I was checking out, I think this earlier this year, Alexa came out with a new skill, choose your own adventure stories. I remember reading these as a young boy, and I love these books that it says, if you choose to go down this mountain, you know, turn to page 76 or something. And now it's turned into basically audio form. And so far, I think they have maybe like 5 or 6 different stories, and all of them take you to maybe dozens of different alternative endings. And I think that's so cool that with technology, especially for fiction writers, that's something, and it's a kind of, we're just on the beginning stages of exploring kind of voice technology together with fiction writing, and maybe something especially for fiction writers to pay attention to. If you can be early into this kind of market, you could really do well for yourself.
Yeah, and I feel the way I'm feeling, it feels like 2009 for ebooks. Like, I've been saying this to people around audio. People are like, oh, why can't we have all this stuff for audiobooks like we do for ebooks? And I'm like, well, that's because we're still at the beginning. I mean, the audiobook stuff in the last 18 months has really taken off. But again, like you say, a lot of the voice tech, they're predicting 2020, the search will be 50% of search will be voice, and things are changing. So very exciting time. I wondered, just tell people, where can they find you and your book online?
Yeah, so I can share. So my book, like you mentioned, it's called The Thoughtful Language Learner. And you know, Joanna, I just want to say, I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I've been a big fan, and many of your episodes have been instrumental or helpful in just the self-publishing process. So appreciate you. I appreciate all the content you make. So my book is available on Amazon, self-published on Amazon, both Kindle and paperback. And if people want to connect with me, they can find me through my website at mtokudome.com as well.
Fantastic. And I'll put all the links in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Makoto. That was brilliant.
Yeah, I appreciate the chance to chat with you.
So I hope you enjoyed this second part of the AI special edition. I really wanted to get down all my thoughts, and there's so much going on and things changing every day, and so much of this is exciting to me, but I hope I encouraged and excited you about our creative future. I would love to hear from you, so please do leave a comment on episode 437 or 438. Just go to thecreativepen.com/podcasts, click on the episode, leave a comment there, or tweet me at The Creative Pen and let me know what you think about this whole topic. So next week, I'm talking to Andre Chaperon about attraction marketing and tips for creative business. So happy writing, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.